So, Microsoft just bought LinkedIn last week. What are they going to do with it? What does it mean for the platform? And more importantly, what does that mean for you? Hello, this is Michael Bozy. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Glad that you could be here. And just kicked off last week a thing that I'm calling the Social Media Strategy Series, which is going platform by platform through each of the major platforms and some of the ones that are not so major, just talking about whether or not they're a good choice for your business and what are some of the strategies that you should consider, at least if you're going to use it. Share some of my own strategies, things that I use in my own content strategy, and also my clients, and I hope that you'll find it to be helpful. Now, I did Twitter first because that's my best channel, and Facebook should be the obvious next choice given that it's the biggest social network by a long shot, and it's important for business too, but really for small business, and when it comes down to it, any business really, LinkedIn is the logical next choice. It's the network for professionals to connect, and though it's my least favorite interface and user experience, it's still my second best channel, which really makes total sense as a B2B business myself. And because it's the professional network, well, that's why last week Microsoft announced that they were going to purchase this property, LinkedIn, for $26 billion. Just amazing, sent shockwaves through the social media world. Really, really important announcement. You know, both for LinkedIn, obviously, this is a great thing for them, but for Microsoft too, right? What that says to me is that they're doubling down on becoming the hub for professionals of all types. And if you remember, LinkedIn had purchased both SlideShare, which is sort of a PowerPoint competitor, sort of think of like online presentations, and Lynda, which is basically, you know, this network of courses for professionals. It wasn't just for professionals, but both of these recent acquisitions by LinkedIn were really a huge step forward in becoming central to the business world. And guess what? Microsoft now owns these properties too. And to me, there's no doubt that they're going to integrate it into the business tool, which right now is Microsoft Office, somehow. Not a huge fan myself, but look, it's undeniable the power of Microsoft Office and their suite of tools between, you know, Outlook, Microsoft Word, which is huge, Excel, which is huge, and of course, PowerPoint. All these things are just major tools for the business world. Now, if you want to learn more about the details of this and also the ramifications, there's a great podcast episode that was published last week. It's on a show called The Missing Link. And, you know, I'll put a link in the show notes just so you can go there. It was just a great episode. Jabez LeBret is the host or one of the hosts. And, you know, they talked about not just the details of this acquisition, but all the ramifications, including some very smart speculation on what's about to happen. I mean, I learned a lot from it. I think you will too, if you're interested. But on my show, especially in this series, I want to focus on you and what you can do to get the most out of LinkedIn for your business. All right, let's start with the character and philosophy of the platform. I'd like to just give a little overview of what I think they're trying to do. LinkedIn is obvious, right? It's the place to connect with other professionals. However, you know, it's not my favorite platform. I think it's the worst one of the majors. Just feel like they have a very protective mindset. It's definitely a closed network, and they want to sort of protect those connections. But also, you know, even though they're called LinkedIn, they're not so good about letting you link out. So for instance, you're not allowed to have links on your profile to blog pieces or other, you know, your website, podcasts, whatever. They have very prescribed ways for you to do that. So you couldn't just link to a particular article. You got to link to your website. They only give you a few places to do that. I mean, that to me says a lot about their philosophy. Now, it's clear they want to be a content platform. They're desperate to get you on the platform. So, for instance, if you're signed up for this and you get notifications, They may send you an update that says, oh, here's this list of things that might interest you, but you've got to click through on that, right? You can't see what it is that you want to know. Probably the biggest sort of infraction with this is where they say, people are looking at your profile, but they don't tell you who those folks are. What's the harm in telling you in the email who those connections are, right? In point of fact, it might make you want to click through even more, but they don't tell you. They just hope that, you know, just by saying the fact that someone's looking at you, looking at your profile, that you want to click through. To me, I just kind of think of that as sort of aggressive. And, and one more thing, the dreaded work anniversary updates. So-and-so has been at such a company for 2 years. Who cares? You seriously had to email me for that, LinkedIn? I mean, probably the person who's having the work anniversary isn't even celebrating that anniversary. But you saw fit to interrupt my day and email me about that. Nice. Yeah, I really just think of these things as sort of aggressive moves that, to me, it's kind of bordering on spam. But LinkedIn is what it is. It's still a really important platform. And like I said, one that I get a lot out of. So as much as I don't like it, doesn't matter. Got to use it. All right, now anyone can see your updates. So you post something, it's going to appear in people's feeds. They've definitely been doing more algorithmic tweaking, kind of similar to the way Facebook does it, which means that your network is not guaranteed to see your posts. This is, like I said, a closed network. And really, when it comes down to it, it's about connecting with people that you already know. It's hard to do audience building. I won't say impossible. In point of fact, when you get to publishing and using the Pulse platform, that's a means for you to be able to do that. But for the most part, you're going to connect with people that you already know. Now, in general, I don't want to get too hung up on the sort of overall platform statistics, but LinkedIn has, 160 million monthly active users. I'll put a link in the show notes to the source on that. And estimated daily active users is about 53 million, which is pretty good. That shows that the folks who are on there, they are interacting, and that's good. Now, it probably goes without saying, but this is a B2B tool almost exclusively, which will definitely affect your strategy and how you handle this. All right, so let's talk about you and your strategy with LinkedIn. My framing mechanism here is a few different considerations. There's, let's see, three or four different considerations here. A couple questions that you got to answer and go one way or the other on this, right? So the first one is really a big choice is whether or not you want to maintain a business page or not on LinkedIn. Now, a business page is different from a profile. A profile you absolutely have to have for all the reasons that I just described. You need to be on LinkedIn. This is where it does not matter whether you're B2B or B2C. This is not even a choice. If you are in the professional world, you need a profile. And this is going to get really, really important. Now that Microsoft owns LinkedIn, it's very conceivable that they're going to use this as sort of a, think of it as sort of a social profile. So in other words, everything that you put up on your profile page is going to be a part of the Microsoft environment now, meaning that it could get served up in not only Outlook, but also in Word, Excel, sharing documents. I mean, you can see how they might use that, which means you got to get this thing up to date, right? If your profile is lagging, you got to get going on that. But let's talk about business pages. In my opinion, I've not had a lot of luck with these, whether from my own strategy or working with clients. I find this as an instrument that's, I don't know, it's not very useful. Then you think about this, right? If it's a professional network for people to connect with people, then brands have a tough time with that. And it's not saying that you shouldn't try it or you shouldn't experiment with it. I'm sure it works for other people. But when you think about it, it's different than Facebook that way. People now expect for brands to be on Facebook, to have a Facebook page. But so far, they don't really care whether you're on LinkedIn or not as a business. They care about you as a person, but not as a business page. So to me, the way that should affect your content strategy there would be, just set up a basic business page. I think you want to be on there. And then post to it from time to time. Not a lot. You know, maybe it's you know, just your best stuff, the stuff that you're absolutely most proud of. But you're not going to do too much with it. And I think that's fine. I mean, look, the enticement there is that it's got some analytics, which is helpful, even though it's very, very basic. I mean, it's nowhere near to the level of what Facebook has done. But you can see the impressions, clicks, interactions. Nice one is you can see the followers acquired because of a certain post. I mean, that's kind of a nice feature, but I don't think it's really that worth it. So I'd say just get a page up there and you're probably done with it. Now, consideration number two is, should you pay for an upgrade or not? There's something called LinkedIn Premium Professional, and there's a couple different levels which will affect how much it will cost. And it just opens the door to a couple more sort of connecting features, right? So you can start to see the full list, not sort of a condensed list, or actually there's some that are grayed out, but you get to see a full list of people who have viewed your profile. They tell you that you'll get found more often with something called open profile. So they'll apparently push your profile in front of more people. And then you don't have to be subject to the restrictions on that. You got a lot to... freer ability to connect. Presumably they think, oh, if you're paying, you're probably not going to come on and spam people, which we know is not true. And you see evidence of that, and I'm sure they get shut down. You don't see too much of that. I think LinkedIn's pretty good about that. Now, for me, personally, I don't pay for the Premium Professional. I really think this type of thing is great for recruiters, folks who are hiring, and maybe there are clever ways to use this for audience building or for small businesses, but, I haven't really thought of or come across any clever ways to use this. It just seems like this paid upgrade gives you more ability to connect. If that's important for your business, you could obviously see that being worthwhile for a B2B business, where you could open up more search features, try to find more people in your sector. Hey, look, I'm sure that could work. It's not a big thing for me. Okay, consideration number three is whether or not to pay for ads. So there's something called LinkedIn advertising, which has two types. They do either sponsored content, which is sort of in-stream stuff, like Facebook's boosts, or text ads that you can run on the right-hand sidebar. You can do this in a couple different ways, either pay-per-click or pay-per-impressions, similar to what Facebook does. So you can sort of, on the pay-per-click, what I recommend is if you are thinking of doing some sort of boosting or wanting to show content, obviously you want to design a campaign around this, make sure it's something that's a very, very clear call to action about what you want to get done. And then just like you would in Facebook, set this up with one of two things, right? You either want to compel an action, get someone to go to your website and pay per click on that, right? So that you know that action happened, or you just want to drive awareness. That's where you do impressions, where you need to get something out there and, hey, look, try it. This can't hurt. I've tried a little bit with this. I feel like, with the sponsored content, the targeting is okay, but it's not nearly as good as Facebook's. You can limit by company size, job title, which can be a little difficult if you're working with startups, the industry that the user is in, and geography. So look, that's helpful. And, there's a good post if you're just getting started with this type of thing called the Kissmetrics Guide to LinkedIn Ads. I'll put a link in the show notes. Really helpful if you want to try this as a strategy. All right, then question or consideration number four is, are you going to publish content on Pulse or just rely on simple network updates? I'm going to do a whole episode on Pulse, so I don't want to get too much into this just because I feel like it can be a really good and worthwhile strategy. But the strategy in general has kind of waned, and we'll see what happens in what Microsoft does with this. But Pulse, when it first started, was really good. There was a lot of activity. I was one of the early folks who was using it and got really good action on my posts. And that now the reach is down a lot. Right now it's flooded with content, with people posting stuff. And I'm sure you've noticed this, as have I. And most people are using this as sort of blog light rather than setting up an actual blog. Or like me, just posting a teaser or a condensed article or an excerpt with a link back to the actual article on my site. You know, look, neither one is a very good strategy, but because the reach is down for me and other people that I work with, you know, I just have been relying on it a lot less. Now, that's not to say that it's not an important strategy. I think it is, and it's going to get more and more important, which is why I want to devote an entire segment to that in another episode. All right, so what does this mean for your overall strategy? Okay, few things. One, like I've said, get your profile up to date. Job descriptions, nice and concise, as compelling as possible. This is your online resume now. If you can, add projects, get testimonials. This is just going to get way more important under Microsoft as they develop out the platform and do what they're going to do. Second thing, set up a business page. Yes, it's not the best strategy. It's not the thing that's going to blow you away with the results, but just get it up there. Because it's going to help you for search, right? You want to be there for search. When someone's searching your company in LinkedIn, let it come up. Just put the basic information on it. Yes, it's not a core part of your content strategy. Just do the bare minimum and maybe post once a week. Just use whatever you wrote for your Facebook page and post there. Pretty easy, pretty minimal, won't take you too much extra. Second thing with regard to posting, no automation on this platform. This platform is not good for it, whether it's your profile or the page. Post these things manually so that you can control the title, the image, and the meta content. The last thing that people want to see is hashtags carried over from, you know, your Twitter or Facebook post that makes you look bad, like you're not really on LinkedIn, even if that's not true. People are going to see through that. So no automation on this platform. There are ways to do it. I just strongly recommend against it. All right, next piece of your strategy is to curate other people's content. So find good articles, pay attention to your sector, follow some people who are posting good stuff, and post, you know, a few times a week is fine with this. I would say no more than once a day because, look, your goal here is to show that you are a participant, that you care about the issues in your industry, but you don't want to go overboard with this. You don't want to get to the point of fatiguing this audience here. These are people you know personally on LinkedIn, even if they're light connections. You don't want to go overboard with this, so you want to keep that fairly light touch so that people just don't get sick of you. It's really that simple. And speaking of connections, next piece of the strategy is just to do some active connecting. So in other words, every once in a while, do a sweep under the section in LinkedIn called People You May Know. Just keep growing that network. And then when you do, you know, and the same thing when you're curating people's content, give kudos to people. Write a brief review if there are people who are going to be important to you or people who have done something meaningful to you and your career. You know, show your appreciation there. It doesn't take too long. You don't have to do them all at once. You don't need to spend hours on it. But those type of things set up a little bit of the potential for reciprocation, and that's a good thing. All right, and then the last thing I would say, which I think is a really good strategy on LinkedIn and takes advantage of the strengths of LinkedIn, is to join or, if you have the wherewithal, start a group. So this is under interests and groups. There are tons in your sector, I'm sure, and it's easy to join. Some of them are open groups, and then some of them you need to ask to be invited or allowed into the group. But this is your chance to participate, to bring value to the others, but do not sell yourself or your business overtly. Remember why people are there. They're there to connect with others. They don't want to be sold to. Think of it as a way to help people. Just like I would say in any other content strategy, bring value to people so that you create this little need to reciprocate, which they, when they're ready, will take you up on and will help you back. But you don't want to be pushy and pushing yourself on there. This is the same thing I say over and over for any platform. And LinkedIn is good for this, right? So these groups are really good, and I found it to be really valuable. And also, I've, you know, gotten in there and asked some questions where I needed some help making a decision or to arbitrate a decision. Sometimes it helps to get the feedback of people in your sector. It's really valuable. So it's really good stuff. All right, so those are the basics of setting up your foundation in LinkedIn. Like I said over and over in this segment, this is going to get more and more important in the future. So really, as many problems as LinkedIn has with its user experience and just the overall philosophy, it's worth the investment of time and effort. It really is. All right, so I hope that you'll find that to be helpful in getting started on LinkedIn, or if you've already got a profile up, which you probably do, just honing that profile, getting it more up to date, and then trying some other things. You know, experimenting with some of the features of LinkedIn. I think this is going to get better in the future with Microsoft. Could be wrong, but we'll see. Now, I hope that you'll subscribe to this podcast. Next week is going to be Facebook. Would have done Facebook this week, but with this announcement of Microsoft purchasing LinkedIn, just had to push it up. Just thought it was more timely. And look, LinkedIn is good for business. I mean, that's it. But Facebook, it's got 1.6 billion people out there. It's really good for advertising. So next week, I'm going to get into Facebook pages. So subscribe so that you don't miss it. Would be really appreciative if you'd share this or leave a rating and review. But do that only if you like it and you get something out of this series. So, all right, signing off now. We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.